Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's read together today's sermon title, Great Faith in a Great God. Based on our gospel reading from Luke 7, these verses. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him and turned and said to the crowd that was following him, I say to you, not even in Israel have I ever found such great faith. I invite you to follow in your handout the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Great Faith in a Great God. Story is told of an elderly woman who had just traded in her old compact car for a brand new sleek model, but it was a big car. As soon after getting it, she drove downtown to do some shopping, and the only parking space she could find was a narrow parallel parking space between two cars already parked. As she shifted that big car into reverse and looked over her shoulder, she saw out of the corner of her eye two policemen watching her every move. But she wasn't flustered at all. Unruffled, she put that car into that parallel parking space on the very first try. As she was walking to the parking meter, one of the policemen tipped his cap, put money in the meter, and then gave a $5 bill to his policeman and said, you won the bet. I can't believe she put the car to that space. The smiling lady turned and with her best self-satisfied tone said to the policeman, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Faith. It's something we all need more of. And not just in little things like parking a car, but we need greater faith in our great God. Now, faith or lack of faith is one of the major themes in the entire Gospel of Luke. In chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was chastised for his lack of faith. In the same chapter, Mary, the mother of our Lord, was praised because of her great faith. In chapter 5 of Luke's Gospel, a bunch of men were praised for their tenacious faith as they lifted their paralyzed friend to Jesus and tore open a roof to lower him so he could be healed. And now in chapter 7, we see another demonstration of faith in the healing of the centurion's servant. We find another example of great faith in a great God. Jesus had just gone to a city called Capernaum. Listen to Luke 7, verse 2. And a certain centurion servant in Capernaum. The servant was highly valued by the centurion. The servant was sick and about to die. A centurion was a man in the Roman army that commanded at least 100 men. 100 men were under his rule. The centurion, this man was likely the ranking officer in this small city of Capernaum. And the servant was more than just property to him. The text says he was highly valued by the Roman soldier. The servant was likely a trusted friend of his family as well as just a hired servant. And instead of the more usual Roman custom of putting to death a sick servant or casting him out of the household, this centurion sought help. Verses 3 to 5 tell us, and when the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to Jesus asking him to come. And the elders came to Jesus and they said, quote, Jesus, he is worthy for you to come to him, for he loves our nation. It was he who built our synagogue. Here we see the first part of great faith. And notice your sermon outline. The first part of great faith. Great faith acknowledges that God can help. Now, what the centurion actually believed about Jesus, the text doesn't tell us. What we do know is that he believed Jesus had the very power of God to heal and to save. And we also know that this Roman soldier cared for the Jewish people of his town. For out of his own pocket, this Roman centurion built the Jewish people in Capernaum a place to worship, a synagogue. We can imagine this Roman soldier likely hung around the synagogue and learned about the one true God, contrary to the Roman teaching of hundreds of gods. Yes, this Roman centurion knew something about the true God, but he wasn't fully where God wanted him to be in his faith. He likely did not yet know and trust that Jesus was the promised Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God, who would give his life for the sins of the world. And yet, take note, this man reached out to Jesus in faith. His faith was not complete. His faith was not well informed, but it was faith in Jesus. And it was enough. Now, I hope you're hearing some good news here. Many of us have friends. We have loved ones. We have family members whose faith is not where it should be. It's not fully informed. It's not complete. But as we'll see in this text, even the simplest of faith that reaches out to Jesus is never turned away. His seeming little faith was made great because it was faith in a great God. And what happened next? Verse 6 tells us, "Now Jesus started on his way with the Jewish elders, and he was not far from the house." Jesus made his way to the home of this Roman soldier whose faith was incomplete. And here's the good news for us. It's not the amount of our faith that counts. It's not the theological sophistication of our faith that counts. It is the direction that our faith is pointed to. That's really what matters. And the direction our faith is always pointed to is Jesus Christ, our Lord. My friends, you do not need to have all of the answers. You don't need to feel that you are good enough. You don't need to worry that you still have doubts. We simply reach out to Jesus with little faith, and he makes that faith great. Because he's a great God. And Jesus will do what? As he did for the centurion, he will come to our house. Let's read the second part of verses 6 and 7. The centurion sent friends to Jesus, saying to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. For this reason, I did not consider myself worthy to come to you, but you just say the word, and my servant will be healed." Here we see the second part of a great faith. It's on your outline. Great faith acknowledges that we ourselves are not worthy to receive God's help. If ever there were a person who could claim he deserved God's help, it was the centurion, a prestigious military leader, a generous benefactor of the Jewish people of Capernaum, building their synagogue out of his own pocket. Now, most Roman soldiers would spit on people they conquered, but not this man. Surely such a man could think, "Hey, God, you owe me one." But no, not this man. The centurion saw himself as he truly was, a sinner in the presence of a holy God. That's why he said in verse 7, "I did not consider myself worthy, Jesus, to come to you." Now, our natural inclination, and the natural inclination of every human being, is sounds like this. Hey, God, you owe me. I deserve a favor from you. Now, even though it was well-intended, this was kind of the attitude of the Jewish elders who came to Jesus. Listen to what they said. Help this man, Jesus. He deserves your help. He's a nice guy. He built our synagogue. And so there are some people today who want to shout from the rooftops, look, God, see all the good things that I have done. I'm not really such a sinner, not such a bad guy. How about paying me what you owe me? Now think about that. If a holy God paid us what he owed us, we would be in trouble. How opposite the humble response of this centurion. How opposite the testimony of Holy Scripture. Listen to Romans 3:19. That every mouth may be closed, because by good works will no one be justified in God's sight. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we are justified by a gift of his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So again we say, great faith acknowledges that we ourselves are not worthy to receive God's help. A great faith is a humble faith that's directed to the mercy of God for sinners, a mercy that's never earned or deserved. Did you notice that kind of faith in this centurion? He sends messengers to Jesus, another set of messengers to Jesus, to say he's not worthy for Jesus to come to his house. Now, this was a big deal. Why? The centurion is a Roman soldier, a Gentile, a non-Jew. The dying servant in this Gentile's house could not be moved. And who is Jesus? A Jew. A Jewish rabbi who by law could not enter a Gentile's home because it was ceremonially unclean. But Jesus is doing what? He's coming near the house. Now, perhaps this centurion thought the Jewish elders went too far in urging Jesus. Perhaps he thought they didn't make clear to him that he wasn't a Jewish believer. So he sent a second group of friends and he said, please tell Jesus, I am not worthy for you to come to my house, to be under my roof. But Jesus, you just say the word from a distance, and my servant will be healed. The centurion's faith was so great in Jesus that he got the second message to him. Just say the word. Your word is all I need. Just speak your word, O Lord, even from a distance. And that will be enough for me. This centurion believed firmly that the power of Jesus' word was so great that even without Jesus being physically in his home, the servant would be healed. Did you catch it? He believed that Jesus' word was enough. Oh, how we today can learn from this Roman centurion. Because we have God's complete and final word in the Old and New Testaments. In the book of the Bible we have in our hands, in our households, in our churches, from the pulpit, in Bible classes, this written word of God always drives us to the living word of God, Jesus Christ. That word that's become flesh. Now, I've heard people say often, how many times have I heard people say, oh, Pastor, if only I could have lived in Jesus' time, how much easier it would have been to believe. Maybe so, maybe not. Not even Jesus' disciples fully got it, though they walked with him. But our prayer should sound like this. Oh, Lord, please grant me a more abiding trust in your word. Oh Lord, your word for me is enough until I see you face to face on that final day. Just speak your word. That's why you continually hear from me the importance of reading God's word at home, of listening diligently to the sermon, of coming to one of our many Bible classes. Oh, Lord Jesus, speak the word and I or my servant will be healed. Our confidence comes, and this is what verse 3 of the hymn Rock of Ages says, our confidence comes not in our good deeds. The centurion's confidence was not in, hey, I built the synagogue. He said, Jesus, just speak your word and my servant will be healed. Verse 3 of Rock of Ages says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. The centurion said, Jesus, I quote, just say the word, my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to this soldier, come, and he comes. I say to this servant, do this, and he does it. Here was a good example of what the Bible calls the lesser to greater principle. The centurion recognizes human authority. He cites common commands he gives as a military leader. Go and they go, come and they come, do and they do. And so the centurion reasons thusly. If the words of a mere man like me can make things happen, how much more would the word of Jesus make something happen? This centurion's confidence is based on the word of Jesus. Oh, dear Lord, in your patient kindness, teach us today to have a confident trust in your word. Your word that always points us to Jesus, who died upon the cross for us. Your word that always pronounces to us the forgiveness of sins. Your word that directs us, because he lives, we shall live also. Your word, O God, that strengthens us daily. Did you know, or do you know what the absolute middle part of the Bible says? The middle verse in the entire Bible. That is to say, if you divided the Bible in two, like this, and had so many verses before this and so many verses afterward, this single verse is the middle verse of the Bible. It's written in Psalm 118. Listen to what it says. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in men. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Let's go back one last time to this Roman centurion who trusted in Jesus' word and had confidence in that. He said to Jesus, just say the word, my servant will be healed. And the last two verses of our text tell us the result. We read, now when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him and said to the crowd that was following him, I say to you, not even in all Israel have I found such great faith. And when those who had been sent to Jesus returned to the house, they found the servant well. Only two times in the entire New Testament did Jesus say somebody's faith is great. Here, with a Roman Gentile soldier. And secondly, in the case of a Canaanite woman. Both Gentiles. Neither what we would call good church-going people. But being in Jesus' presence created in them a confident faith, a great faith in a great God. And God, in his tender compassion, would never send them away disappointed. Our final story. If you're following the outline, we're at the conclusion. How about that? There's a wonderful story of the Polish pianist, Paderewski. A mother had taken her young son to see the master pianist. Have you heard of Paderewski, Martin? Sure, you better say that after your UBC music education. It's from many years ago. A mother took her little boy to hear Paderewski play his concert. This little boy was just learning to play the piano. They sat very close to the stage and saw the beautiful grand piano where Paderewski would play. The mother had just turned ahead for a moment to talk to her friend behind her, and that little tyke ran up on the stage and sat at this great piano and began to play that child's tune, Chopsticks. You know the tune, Chopsticks. The mother was shocked. The audience was silent. What would the great master do? But Paderewski strode upon that stage. Instead of being angry, he sat on the bench with that little boy, whispered something into his ear, "You keep playing," wrapped his arms around the little boy, and he improvised a soft but brilliant accompaniment to the child's Chopsticks tune. When the two finished playing, Paderewski whispered something else in the little boy's ear. They both stood up and they bowed together, and the crowd gave them a standing ovation. Dear friends, no matter how simple or childlike or incomplete your faith is, if all you can play on the piano of your life is Chopsticks, your tender and compassionate Lord will never send you away disappointed. As can be said for the Roman centurion, it can be said for you. You can have great faith in a great God, and He will not let you down. In the name of Jesus, amen.